Get promos and discounts from Filipino startups. Check out our partners at the description. Disregard Fiat is the founder of DLux.io or Honeycomb, an extended reality platform built on the Hive blockchain. Hi, Disregard Fiat. Welcome to the Startup Podcast. We're very happy to have you here. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Yes, I'm fine. And I'm very excited to know more about you and to know more about this project that you're building, DLux.io. So I'll ask the first question. So what really is DLux.io or Honeycomb?
Well, it's kind of a catch-all for what we thought the internet could be. A long time ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, me and my friend Mark were just, hey, how do we put virtual reality and this kind of content on the internet? And we never really found something that was, you know, useful enough for us or had all the features that we wanted. So we went out and we built it, and we decided to use Hive and build our own blockchain stuff to get all of the features that we wanted out of it into our platform.
Yeah, so let's dig deeper into that. An extended reality platform. So I think that's a combination of both augmented and virtual reality. But I have a lot of questions about this. So first, can you tell us what really does it mean? What really is extended reality platform? And second, why do you think this is like the future of the internet? How does this work really? What is this really?
So extended reality is... There's just a lot of overlap between terms like virtual reality and augmented reality, extended reality. But to me, the best indicator of extended reality is when you're taking your actual current reality and overlaying something digital on it or vice versa. You're putting your environment into a digital space, which would also qualify. So, for instance, our website asks you, hey, can you give us permission to hear your microphone, maybe your location, your camera, your phone's orientation, all of these different things that people can ask for. And they can use it to say, like, play Pokemon Go style games or do a virtual reality experience or a live menu at a restaurant, something along those lines.
Yeah, so how did you think of like making this or building this? I mean, maybe you've seen that this might be like the future of the internet, or maybe this is how things will be done or how things will go in the future. So how did you think of actually building this? I mean, can you share some stories behind some of the starting ideas that made you really want to build this? Is there like a spark? Is there like something that made you really want to build an extended reality platform, especially on the Hive blockchain?
Well, it really started out when Mark, who's into cinematography and building experiences and a whole bunch of other stuff, put me in a virtual reality headset for the first time. I believe it was the first Oculus that Facebook was making. And it was like, wow, this is really interesting. And I, at the time, already hated Facebook. I don't even think I had a Facebook account at the time. But if I did, it was... not for long. And so we just started building and thinking, like, who should own this kind of content? Who should make the money from this kind of content? What kind of permissions do you get to control? Or basically, it's all about control and sovereignty. And then right after we put up one of our experiences, it was like an art gallery that we digitized. We went home and we watched Ready Player One for the first time. And I was like, oh my God, this is exactly the fight that we're fighting. So yeah, it would be really cool if Deluxe did do something really cool and everybody wanted to use it. But it's all open source. So even if we're not the platform that everybody uses in the future, I hope that we're at least a stepping stone on the way.
Yeah, I remember when like maybe Facebook or Mark Zuckerberg or Meta announced, or actually they changed their name to Meta because they really wanted to build like a... also like a virtual reality world in the digital space. So, but just to paint a picture for our listeners so that they can really understand what all of this means. So to someone who's maybe like in the Hive blockchain or maybe not a Hive blockchain user, so how can this possibly affect them? I mean, maybe how can they use what they're building? How can this maybe affect their lives, their lifestyle, or basically how can they make use of what they're building at DLux.io?
So It really is. I don't know what your viewers know about the Hive blockchain, but the Hive blockchain is a lot about your keys, your content, basically. So you can write a blog on Hive and people like it. They can vote for your content. You make a little bit of cryptocurrency with that. If you don't like your blog anymore, you can delete it, but nobody else can delete it. So it's really just like an ownership of what you put out there. You get to sign it and keep it forever. We just took that one step further where instead of, you know, paying Apple, for instance, $100 for some developer keys so that you can put your software in an iPhone, we're saying, oh, why don't we just use your Hive keys to sign any software that you make? So if you make something that nobody likes, or, you know, is malware, spyware, freezeware, whatever it is, we have your signature that you signed that software. We can point to it. We can do what we think needs to be done in terms of not serving your software to whoever. But this also comes with the freedom to do basically anything that you can do with an internet browser, you can do with Deluxe. So we took what would be, pay blogging or paid video posting on Hive, and then we use that to host your content basically for free. So like we take say 10%, you take 90%, but with that you get free hosting. You don't have to worry about domain names or anything else like that. And I think it's really cool because most people don't go around to a website anymore. They're like, they know YouTube, they know Facebook, they know maybe Google and stuff like that. But if I tell you, like, hey, my website is this, unless you really think it's cool, you're not going to remember that and go look for your website by yourself. So it's hopefully it's a place where you can aggregate, you know, content that you find cool, you know, like Facebook, but where everybody owns their own stuff.
Yeah, and yeah, just to put a contrast on those platforms that you said, YouTube, Facebook, Google. So, what's the difference of having, or what's the importance of having this decentralized infrastructure, like for putting this content for storage of files, of videos, of images? I mean, can you also talk into like the decentralization aspect of the Hive blockchain in the whole sense? So, how important really is decentralization, especially in the digital space, and especially now in this generation?
I think depending on who you ask, everybody's going to have the same answer. They're just going to arrive at that answer at different. And I'm already there. I think decentralization and owning your own content is as important as freedom of speech at this point, as in it should be the number one thing that the government is protecting us from or for. And I think a lot of people will have experiences in the last 5 or 10 years, depending on if they want to change the government through a libertarian means, or if they don't want to take a vaccine, or any number of things, like they took a tour of a Capitol building in the United States. These are the kinds of things that now people are getting deplatformed for. You can say the wrong thing and now nobody can find you anymore. So we don't think it should be like that. We think people should make their own decisions, not beholden to, you know, a certain very tiny group of people.
And speaking about your name, so your name is Disregard Fiat. So can you tell the story behind your name? I mean, Fiat is like the currency that's decreed by a certain entity, right? So can you tell about this name and maybe how is it related to like this decentralization aspect?
My name actually comes from a slightly dirtier meme that I found a long time ago, but you're right. Fiat is what most people would consider like money, but the original Latin word, it's more like a promise. So if you want to say like put up or shut up or something along those lines, like it's escaping me right now. But, you know, like you can talk the talk, but can you walk the walk kind of thing. So I just wanted to put out there that these things are possible now. You don't have to trust me to do any particular thing. You can see that it's being done right now. You can go do it yourself. But yeah, that's, if you want the slightly dirtier, I can go into it. But yeah, otherwise that's what it is.
Yeah, let's talk about cryptocurrency. Let's talk about like this alternative for fiat, for example. I mean, it all started with Bitcoin maybe, but in your opinion, I mean, what do you think really of cryptocurrency, and what do you think really of blockchain as an alternative, as a technology that brings an alternative to maybe like the traditional finance system, or like the traditional way of how things are being done before? So what do you think of, I mean, what do you think of like the change that cryptocurrency and or blockchain is bringing into the world?
Yeah, I think that this, yeah, I think it's such a big question now, and it gets bigger every time it gets asked. But you know, the cryptocurrency is just the first thing that you can utilize a distributed ledger for. So the real genius of Bitcoin is it's the first distributed ledger that is trustless. And then you can take that trustless technology to everything. So now we have trustless publishing. We have trustless video publishing. We have trustless app publishing. We have trustless reviews and trustless monetization. Not necessarily just an accounting of these things, but we have, like, you and me can chat with our keys that are stored on this blockchain database now, and we don't have to worry about man-in-the-middle attacks. So, like, going back to what used to think of privacy, we had the like PGP, which just stood for pretty good privacy. And you could always have that man in the middle attack with that. So now we have pretty good privacy, as in it's great. We have all of the technology now. We just need to build it out a little bit more like the internet has in the last 20 years. I think in 5 or 10 years, the world is going to be completely different than it is now.
Yeah. The word that you used is actually very powerful, trustless. So is that correct that, I mean, you're building a trustless digital world? I mean, when the internet was born, actually, so it was, the internet was like built or like created by a certain entity or a certain organization, or it started with a certain group of people. But now, I mean, everyone's using the internet, everyone's living in the internet. So I think now is the time to like really make a decentralized internet and like make everything trustless. So is this your vision for, is this your vision, I mean, in a larger point of view, or is this also like your vision for DLAC.io? I mean, are you seeing like an internet, or like, are you seeing a digital world that's really trustless? There's no centralized entity like serving as a middleman, like as a middle entity, managing the transactions, managing everything. So do you imagine a digital space that's really peer-to-peer, trustless? So, and is this your vision really?
Okay, I might have used a slightly wrong word. And when I say trustless, I don't mean trustless like as in worthless, because you can say like something's worthless, like the air you breathe is worthless, but it's actually worth everything. Like you can't sell it, but if you don't have it, you'll die. And I think the technology we're making is trustless in that kind of same way, where we don't necessarily won't be able to monetize it in certain ways. But if you don't have it, you're not going to be able to transact. So like one of the things that runs Deluxe is called Honeycomb, and it's a layer 2 technology that uses Hive to build additional databases on top of the distributed ledger. So additional distributed ledgers certified by the original distributed ledger. And in this case, even if I don't say trust the people that are running certain things, I can trust the people that are in my community. Say I like cars or I like virtual reality. I can get with people who like cars and virtual reality and use the Honeycomb metric to basically get a community going that has enough trust that I don't have to additionally trust anybody else who joins that system. So if somebody brings their friend, hears about it at random, I don't have to go out and vet that person, because everybody else that I do trust has enough trust collectively to not allow that person to be a bad actor.
Oh, that makes sense now. I mean, the name Honeycomb, it makes sense now on what you're building. I imagine Honeycomb, like, I'm imagining like a beehive, and then there are mini networks, mini trust networks within that large blockchain network. And I guess that's how you're imagining, or how you're building things to work. So you can like build a smaller trust network inside the whole like blockchain network. Can you know like all the possible things that you can do with Honeycomb? I mean, there's also a decentralized exchange on the platform with NFTs, cryptocurrency exchange. So how really can, and yeah, and the storage, the additional layer of storage. So can you just tell us, or can you just tell our listeners, how really can they make the most use of what they're building at Honeycomb, or what, or like everything that they're building?
Right. So the base layer of Honeycomb, we work on this all the time. So what we're at right now is we've taken our base layer, which is, you're right, Honeycomb is a very loaded term. It comes from comb, as in we read the entire blockchain like with a comb. We're just going over the entire blockchain, block by block, looking for everything in it. And then Honeycomb, so we're trying to develop sweetness, the value out of that. Of course, Hive is a bee terminology, and Honeycomb is a bee terminology. So you're right, it all works together. There's different communities that can branch off, and everything's supported in and on itself. But with that, as long as it's probably safe to say, anything that you can do in a group of people, we can do on Honeycomb. As long as you can write it down, you can put it on Honeycomb. And it's kind of like a community smart contracts platform. So if your community was dedicated to running open smart contracts, you could run it. But as is, it's put smart contracts that your community cares about. So in certain cases, we have our contracts for like the file storage part. We have protocols for how do you pick who's storing your files, how that file gets distributed, how we can make sure that the person who put the file into the network and the file that got stored are exactly identical, so that you say, we know where bad content came from. Because if the person who uploaded, you know, a picture of a car and somebody else downloads a picture of their boss's secretary, like, where did that happen? We can prove all of this with our contracts. So it's anything that you can think of that you can do in a group. So any corporation or, you know, a cooperative thing, I think we can do with Honeycomb.
Okay, now I understand. It's very clear now on what you're building. But can I ask you, like, what really is the value that you're bringing into the Hive blockchain? I mean, what's the value of Honeycomb, or why should people, or why should like developers or people in the Hive blockchain use what you're building at Honeycomb? So what's really the value?
Well, I mean, there's been a lot of times, like going back to the old days of Hive before it was actually called Hive. We don't usually talk about what it was, but you know, some of us there saw the problem with the ecosystem. We knew that attacks could happen. We knew that something needed. So I, of course, you know, just having an idea like, all right, let's go look at Solana. Let's go look at Ethereum. Let's go look at any other chain out there that does certain things. And it always comes back to Hive. It really is one of the only places now where you can secure the amount of RAM that you have, your bandwidth on that system. So it's a feeless blockchain after you've invested a little bit into it. So it's like buying a pipe to your house or a rainwater collection system. If you have the collection system, a little bit of high power, you can, you know, drink the water for the rest. So with our, say, decentralized file storage, with our contracts and other stuff like that, I personally never have to invest more into Hive, even though I invest more like every day. I shouldn't ever have to invest more to make sure that my users are running the system. Nothing's going to choke. We're not going to like get super popular and, you know, some kitten app is going to say like, oh, my users can't even afford to use the platform anymore. So these kinds of like scaling and, you know, fee issues really rolled into, I believe that I can provide a service with a decentralized group of people, and that service isn't going to go away. Even if I go away, if I die, like Honeycomb can keep going on, all of my code's open source. You can run Deluxe, you can call it whatever you want. It should just keep going. And honestly, that's the most important part of all of these systems here is like, if you can't trust it tomorrow, then there's no reason to trust it today.
So like in a nutshell, I mean, I understand now. So you're like building an extra layer or an upgrade for Hive users. But like in a nutshell, like is it a layer of security, a layer of scalability, a layer of a layer of everything? So what's really like this extra value or extra layer that you're providing for Hive users?
Right. So If you're familiar with Hivision, it's one of the competing platforms that, provides that extra layer of useful on top of Hive. I don't want to say that Hivision doesn't provide a good service because they do. We just go about it in a slightly different way. So when we're talking about communities, if we have a car club, let's say you, me, a friend of mine, a friend of yours can go out, we can run the Honeycomb ecosystem, and we don't have to worry about everybody else's data. If there's just the four of
Okay.
us, our entire blockchain could be, a few kilobytes because we're only worried about four people's data. And as that system grows, it's like automatically sharded. I don't have to worry about somebody else coming in with anything else from Hive or whatever it is, because it's more close-knit. We're not so worried about. I've never really been worried about the money aspect of it. I always worry more about the trust aspect. So really what we designed is good enough to get communities to do what communities want to do. Whether or not, like honestly, I don't even think money is going to be a big thing in the future with AI and robotics coming out. It's like everybody's going to be able to eat. And at that point, what even is money? It's just a resource credit. So I think this is far more important.
Yeah, so I guess in a nutshell, it's like you're still utilizing the whole Hive blockchain, but you're making it work in just a smaller group of nodes or a smaller network, maybe, or a smaller community. Can I ask about your stories on how you encountered the Hive blockchain in the first place? So in the first place, why did you choose to build or to do projects in Hive? So can you know your story on how you started in Hive?
All right. So a long, long time ago, I was in the US military and just being exposed to the gun and, the things the governor are good at, like killing people and things the governor are bad at, I became more and more libertarian. I met a person named Luke Radowski, who is usually on the Timcast podcast, and this was maybe 12, 15 years ago now. But anyway, when Steam, the network came out, he put out a blast on his socials. And of course, I just went out and grabbed it. I didn't think too much of it because at the time it was so hard to use that, I was just like, this isn't going to work out. But then about a year later, I saw somebody else. I can't remember this guy's name, but he wrote D2 and it was a video platform on there. And as soon as I was like, how does this work if it's just a blog and you can only store text on this thing? So I went and researched it a little bit, and that's when the light went off. And I was like, oh, so you can do anything with this. So that's what we've been trying to do now is, finish the thought. We can do anything with this.
Yeah, I remember one other person I've talked with here in the podcast. So here in the podcast, I've actually been interviewing quite a number of founders or creators in the Hive blockchain, and it's kind of a similar story. I'm not sure if you know him. The founder of Cast Garden, Ken Code. So he's also from the military. And where did you learn like computer programming? Where did you learn software development? I mean, you mentioned to me that you've like gained the philosophy like that mind, that perspective, maybe on during your time at the military. But like, how did you learn the skills? How did you learn the technical skills needed to, for example, blockchain development, I mean, making this program? So, yeah, can you tell like the development of the skills, and how did you learn about doing or on building this stuff?
I got a really basic robotics course in high school where I got to code a few different things about Legos, little plastic toys. And I never really got good at programming or anything like that, but I understood a little bit of like, oh, if this, then that. When I went to the military, I learned nuclear engineering. So I had a good electronics background and got into like logic and circuits and stuff, but it's mechanical programming versus actual programming. But honestly, for me, this was mostly like a light bulb first kind of thing, and then how do you do it second kind of thing. So I didn't bring the toolbox to the light bulb. The light bulb brought me the toolbox.
Have you built other projects before Honeycomb, or yeah, can you tell like some projects that you've also built, or is this your first project that you're building in the Hive blockchain? And maybe in the future, are you planning to build more projects?
Well, I have worked on a lot of projects on hive at this point. There was a, I mean, I started with Deluxe. I used our stuff to help out a project called Hash Keys. And I don't think they're on Hive anymore. I built Bowman, or Duot is on there. I built the Speed Network, of course. While I was building out Honeycomb, people were like, hey, how do we do NFTs? So I built that. A lot of it was just like, hey, if somebody else is finding value in this, it shouldn't be that hard to adapt it onto Hive. So it was just that for the most part. There's only been a few times where I just had like light bulb moments. Like, I had an idea about how to put a, you know, the first time I wrote the augmented reality program on here, I did it while I was on a train from Los Angeles to San Diego, and it mostly worked. Even though I didn't have internet on the train, I got back and they actually wrote it into my computer from my napkin. And it was like, oh, hey, it works. So it's, I don't know. I definitely never went to school for programming, and I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing at this point, because if somebody would have been in school, like, hey, this kind of stuff, you do it this way and you don't do it this way, I wouldn't, or I might not have, you know, bothered to go down certain roads that I have.
But why are you building on the Hive blockchain? I mean, do you find something special with Hive? Do you like the community or like the structure really on how the Hive blockchain is being built? Like maybe the culture or like the philosophy that's like shaping the structure of Hive. So what really do you like with Hive?
I mean, okay. So besides it being feeless, I also like that it's one of the biggest blockchains out there, and I can still run it on a relatively cheap server. I don't necessarily think, well, I think proof of work is a very cool thing, like in Bitcoin, but you can't have more than one proof of work chain because all I have to do is have a bad week on Bitcoin and now it's not profitable to mine Bitcoin, and you take your proof of work or mining rigs to some other chain and just 50% attack it. So I really think there can only be one. It's kind of monolithic. So as much as I love the philosophy of Hive, there it's you know, there's not a central entity there that, you know, pays for development. We very much get into fights all the time, and not just about like what's usually about downvotes, honestly. But if anybody has like a thing that we can do better, we discuss it, we talk about it, we push the levers, and hopefully in the coming year everything changes for the better. And that's the thing I like about Hive most right now, is that we still have a lot of control over the direction of things, just because, you know, it's pretty sovereign chain out there.
Yeah, as they say it, Hive is one or probably the most genuine blockchain out there. I mean, the people still have control over how it is being shaped. Yeah, in terms of that, like, and maybe it's for our final question. I mean, what are you seeing like for the future of Hive? You're building Honeycomb, you're building you've been part of other projects, Deluxe.io, but what's really, you also mentioned like there's a libertarian philosophy here. So can you just tell like the overall vision for, I mean, your overall the overall picture that you're seeing for Hive and for the future in general? I mean, what's like the motivation for doing all of this? What's like the push for you as a person, as a developer, to do all of this? So of course it's not just about, I'm guessing it's not just about money, but I'm guessing it's like moving forward some change, moving forward something, doing something. So what's in it really for you, and what are you really, what's the motivation really for you?
I honestly couldn't tell you what the whole motivation is, because it hasn't always been profitable. I'm not necessarily somebody who needs a whole lot of money, so I've lived just fine on almost nothing versus, you know, what I make now, which is, I do the same kind of stuff that I do on blockchain just in my house. Like, I run home automation software, and I like going in there and coding it and making everything work without me interacting with it. So it's more of a challenge to me. Like, I liked puzzles as a kid, and now it's just like, I feel like I'm working on the world's biggest puzzles at this point. And that's kind of the motivation for me, is just like, that's a rush. I just figured out how to do this one thing that maybe I'm the first to do that.
Yeah. So maybe you just really like solving problems, and you're looking for bigger problems to solve. and you really want to build something to solve these problems and yeah, maybe build something better. So yeah, thank you, Disregard Fiat, for this conversation. If our listeners want to know more about you or want to know more about the things that you're building, especially on Honeycomb or Deluxe.io, so how can they get more information? So maybe how can they contact you, or maybe you can lead them to some channels, some Discord servers maybe?
Sure. So we do run a Discord server. I mean, most of the stuff you can find if you go to my Hive blog. I'm at Disregard Fiat there. If you go to deluxedlux.io, we have some about content there. You can find out how to run Honeycomb for yourself or your community. But yeah, I'm definitely on Discord. The Hive B-Chat, I'm on there as well. Yeah, if you're in South America, I might hang out with you.
Yeah, I'll tell you when I go to South America. And yeah, so for our listeners who want to know more about Disregard Fiat and the projects he's making, and especially about Honeycomb, so if you want to be part of it or if you want to make use of it, so contact Disregard Fiat or talk with him and visit the platform. So thank you very much for this conversation.
Thanks.
Thank you very much to our 38 patrons. This episode is super powered by AskLexPH Academy, our official e-learning partner. Get certifications on Lean Six Sigma, project management, data science, and many more. Juan CFO, CFO services, bookkeeping and tax and payroll processing for startups and small businesses. Tuala, the next evolution of digital trust, privacy-focused digital experience for sharing identity information across Web2 and Web3 ecosystems. And Space Cebu, the biggest branch in the Philippines, global co-working space, meeting rooms, and private offices for startups, digital nomads, and freelancers. UBI Philippines, advocating universal basic income for Filipinos. Ignite Careers, career matching platform for Filipino talents and hiring companies in the outsourcing industry. Mamiki Super Pet App, the Philippines' first ever one-stop mobile app for pet products and services. Divico Technologies, IT solutions specializing in software development, blockchain smart contracts, digital wallets, and cybersecurity. DBuzz, Web3 microblogging app promoting freedom of speech and content ownership. Benjoy's Food Products, the home of premium bacon ends, Tapa, and Tocino. Looking for, buy and sell online with Sigurado Sellers. NutriCoach, the all-in-one productivity tool for dietitians and nutritionists. And Podify Team, podcast launch, production, editing, and management company helping increase podcasters' efficiency. This episode is powered by Contact RFID Business Cards, SiriusMD, Uplift Codecamp, Founders Launchpad, Pocketworks, Board Prep, Zales, and Pareto Consulting. Please support the podcast through the links in the description.